Today, Le'iloi Nishmat. Yeah, you might have to share them, but that's okay.
Do you want me to make more?
If we're in really desperate need, but I don't think it's necessary. I think Chani is holding a whole bunch. Oh, so you want to give? How many people don't have? May I see a screen? I made 25. Are there any more in there? No, that's something else.
I told her, give me a set.
I'll give you one, but remember this I need very because I made notes for myself in the back.
Okay, so it's one side?
One side. The other thing is secret.
Okay, so I'll make 25?
No, 20 is fine.
20?
Rak echad. Sad echad. Thank you very much. Okay, we're dedicating Asher Yor today. In loving memory of the mother of Les Friedlander, who is Brindel Bat Avram Halevi. It is her yahrzeit on Tet Zayin Elul, and may she have an Ilui Neshama because of all the learning that will go on today at the Israel Center. He dedicated all of the learning today. And may we hear just Besorot Tovot, my friends. It's getting close, it's almost Rosh Hashanah, and so once again, we can't start without saying Shana Tova to everybody. May we have a Shnat Bracha, may we have Besorot Tovot, all of us. Vivian, there's stuff in front of you, ignore it. No, in front of you where you always sit. And may we all have Smachot, may we all have Smachot. We are learning Nachum, and I can't understand why Nachum is not on the curriculum of every high school, because it is so important as a continuation of Sefer Yonah. You know, everybody learns Yonah at one point or another. We spent a lot of time on Sefer Yonah. And with this Yom Kippur, we are going to exude knowledge of Yonah. But Yonah is an unfinished story. And we never really finish it except maybe to say orally to somebody, but eventually Ashur was destroyed. Eventually the empire of Ashur was destroyed later on. And Nachum, as far as I know, is the only one who picks up the story and says, let me tell you the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. Let me tell you why Ashur was saved in the time of Yonah and why later on they were destroyed. And I really find it very important, and I'm very happy that we got to Nachum at this particular time, right before the Yamim Noraim. I think it's extremely appropriate. And so what we need to think about is, we did a long introduction regarding what kings reigned during the time of Nachum. Nachum, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. Remember that it's like a group of three Nevi'im, roughly, who gave Nevuah at the same time, and shortly afterwards is the time of Yirmiyahu already. So,
why is he called Nachum, which means
Nechama?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? It is Nechama, because really Yonah did have a taina. Didn't Yonah really have a good point? He didn't want to save Nineveh because the Kadosh Baruch Hu had shown him that Nineveh, capital of Ashur, is going to come and totally destroy and exile Malchut Yisrael. Nachum, he does bring some nechama. It's interesting that you picked that up. It didn't dreidel in.
Because I have a brother.
You have a brother, Nachum. Yes. At any rate, we did begin it. We did begin 2 weeks ago. It seems like longer. It's very hard when there's a 2 week break to get back. 2 weeks ago we started it, we did 3 psukim, which was a major accomplishment. You might not realize it. But these 3 psukim were a major, major accomplishment. And basically, remember, we learned that he actually begins by calling this a masa. I just want to thank you. There will be papers if anybody wants it. Do not look at it till I tell you. There are people who don't have the papers. Raise your hand. Thank you. Okay. It's just a list of the different Nevi'im who talked about the Midot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nevi'im that we learned. I confined myself to the Nevi'im in Trei Asar because I figured otherwise, boy, it would be a lot. Toda Rabba. Here's my little notes with my terrible handwriting. Okay, my friends, we learned in the first pasuk. I'm going to quickly remind you because we weren't together. Masa Ninve, a difficult nevuah that's a burden. Masa. About Nineveh in this Sefer Chazon Nachum El Koshi, in this Sefer that gives us this Chazon, the vision of a certain Nachum HaEl Koshi, and we're not totally certain if that's the name of his city, which some, or his father, or the family, or the family. So it's either El Koshi family, or the city. Rashi says it's the city, but we can't find it on any map, on any atlas, historical type map. And he begins by giving us his version of the Midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kael kano v'nokem Hashem. Wow. Kael kano, right? Zealous, a zealous God, and one who takes revenge, and a vengeful God, I guess we could say. Nokem Hashem ubal chema. Hashem takes revenge and he is filled with anger. And remember that chema is the kind of anger that you hold inside. Hot. Chema from cham. Nokem Hashem litzarav. Hashem takes vengeance from his enemies, those that are called tsar. Sarim, v'noterhu, noter is where you keep remembering it, right, and reminding yourself that it's there. Lo tikom v'lo titor. Don't take revenge and don't hold it in your heart. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge and he keeps it in his heart to the people that are called oivim. Remember, we went through a long Malbim in which Malbim explained to us, first of all, the amazing phenomenon that it says the word nekama 3 times. And it's very important because there are 2 reasons that are given, one really more important than the other. Reason one is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking nekama, from whom? Ashur. 3 times. So no came, no came, no came. Rega. You thought you would get away with this, didn't you? At any rate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes nekama, the 3 times that it took to completely destroy Asher. I know I put, yes I did. Were the first time, remember, when the whole army of Asher was stopped outside of the walls of Yerushalayim in the times of Chizkiyahu, there was the great miracle where the army of Sancheriv was They just didn't wake up. There was a magefa that hit them. The whole army was destroyed. Sancheriv was able to go home. But the kingdom was never as strong as they were before. But they were far from being destroyed. Then there was another time that it would seem, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, that it was almost a natural phenomenon. Something happened, b'derech hateva. Nineveh suffered, it was like there was an overflow of one of the major rivers, the Chidekel, which is the Tigris. And it was not completely destroyed, but close. Slicha. And that was in the time of Menashe, which is the time that Nachum lived. And it is only...
And he was a bad king. Right?
He was an evil, evil king.
And he did shum at the end.
According to the Gemara, and according to Divrei Hayamim, not Melachim.
No, was this... He learned him in Divrei Hayamim?
Yes, he did tshuva. I'm almost back. Almost. It's almost going away. And then finally...
Menashe.
Menashe
was
the Russia. Terrible.
But I don't know. Menashe Chavereinu on his level, not on our level.
Huh? Slicha, you are Sylvie. You are bringing up an incredible Agarata in the Gemara. An incredible Agarata. And when you're thinking about it, I'm going to have to say it. Even though I'm going away from the topic, but there's an incredible, incredible Agarata in the Gemara, because, you know, a person turning to be an evil king can be a tiny, I can't even describe it. You know, Chizkiyahu, the Melech Tzadik, please don't ever think that he didn't try to educate his son. His son had learned a lot. His son was a big, I'm going to bite my tongue, a Talmid Chacham.
Like the
Acher, there's another good one, very good one. Essentially, we learn both in Melachim and in Divrei Hayamim that he was a very evil king because he turned totally to Avodah Zarah, to foreign gods. I'll get to. Sylvie, you have a new pay. It's beautiful. I can't help it. I sit here at the desk and I look out. I can't help it. At any rate, The Nevi'im tell us that he was very evil. We remember what we said, that we didn't understand the incredible power that Ashur had on the world, not only politically, but they wanted to spread their own culture as well. And so they spread the culture of terrible Avodah Zarah all over the world, and Menashe felt that he really needed to go along with it because they were so successful. In the Gemara, Hachelek, there is an incredible discussion about Menashe from the point of view of the fact that he was a Talmid Chacham, but he did lose his chelek in Olam Haba. He is one of the three kings that lost their chelek, Yecholiot Arba. There's seven people that lost their chelek in Olam Haba that are discussed in Perek HaChelek and Gemara Sanhedrin. And I can't remember now if it's four kings and three hedyotot, or three kings and four hedyotot, because I have not looked at it for a while, so excuse me. But Menashe, my dear Sylvie, lost his chelek in Olam Haba because of the Avodah Zarah that he did. And even though he did tshuva, it was too little too late. He had already changed the entire tenor of Malchut Yehuda. He had spread the Avodah Zarah so thoroughly that it was really inexorably coming to the end, to the Churban. There was no turning back.
The people.
The people. He couldn't. Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu, the Melech Tzadik that we're going to be mentioning, couldn't successfully turn everybody back, though he tried with all of his heart and his soul and his might. But what's the Agadita that Sylvie was mentioning? There's an incredible Agadita, but you have to forgive me because if I don't look at it, then sometimes I don't have it extremely clearly. But it talks about the fact that some of our greatest rabbis were sitting and talking about Menashe because they were discussing, did Menashe really lose his chelek in Olam Haba, or did his tshuva change it? And there's this whole discussion because the king that was previous to Chizkiyahu, Achaz, who was also no tzaddik, did not lose his chelek in Olam Haba, and Menashe did. So there's a lot of discussion there. And so, basically, they end their discussion with the day by saying, tomorrow, we are going to talk about our chaver, Menashe. Mm-hmm. In the Gemara, when the term chaver is used, it means peer. What's a peer? Somebody who's like you, right?
Not quite.
We're going to discuss our chaver, Menashe.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they all go home, and it's Ula. The story is told about Ula. And that night, Ula has a dream. And in the dream, if I mess the story up, by the way, then I promise you that I'll go home and I'll get it, and we'll really read it in the source. Ula has a dream, and Menashe comes to him in the dream. And he says to him, you called me a chaver. I will ask you a question in halacha, and let's see if you know the answer. So he asks me, and it's a very, very odd question. Meheichan botzim et hapat. When you're going to make a hamotzi, like on Shabbos, when you have two whole, where should you start cutting the bread? Does it make a difference?
Yeah.
Where you start cutting the bread? I know, because we in our family have the minhag of always cutting it from the bottom.
Oh, really?
Yes, because that's where it browns first. In other words, remember, my father, Olav Hashalom, always used to look at the challah to see where it was
baked better.
So, where it was really baked, sort of where baked first. So, Ula said to Menashe, he didn't know the answer. Mehechan botzim et hapat. And so Menashe answered that you eat it, you botzeya, you cut it at the point where it baked first. So Ula says to him, tomorrow I am going to teach this halacha in your name when we get together and we learn. And the next day, when they get together and they learn, he says, today we are talking about Rabbeinu, not Chaver, but Rabbeinu, our rabbi, our rebbe, our teacher, Menashe. And it is such an overwhelming, it's just like what you talked about with Acher. It's that overwhelming feeling of look, who this person was. You know, he was educated, yes.
But how can you learn a lot from a dream?
I'm gonna answer you, but please excuse me for laughing. The reason that I'm laughing is because, my dear, it's Agadita. And Agadita always takes us a little bit it takes us out of reality a little bit, but enough to tingle the imagination. We are supposed to understand something from this Agadita. It's not stam a story. You know what the story is? The story is, don't ever think that just because somebody is this big Talmud Chacham that he is protected from all the vicissitudes of life. It's an overwhelming story, and I apologize to you, because when you read it from the Gemara, I think it really gets right here. It goes right in. Oh, whoa. It's an overwhelming story of Menashe. So yes, back here, Menashe was an evil king, unfortunately. His son Amon, who Baruch Hashem only ruled for 2 years, was also an evil king. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting to bring Yoshiyahu on the scene. In the time of Yoshiyahu, Ashur was finally destroyed. We're going to see it in this perek, by the rising power of Nebuchadnezzar. So no came three times, the first time outside of the walls of Jerusalem, when their strength and power was slightly cut back because the army was destroyed, but they did rebuild it a little. The second time there was some natural phenomenon in which the city of Nineveh was flooded. We'll see it here. And the third time was, it's not in the time of Nahum that it happened, it was during the time of Yoshiyahu. And during the time of Yoshiyahu, there was a great battle at Carchemish, which is in southern Turkey, a great battle in Carchemish, in which Nebuchadnezzar totally vanquished that unbelievable army of Ashur. And then he incorporated Ashur into his empire. And all of the city-states that existed in that part of the Middle East are going to be incorporated after Nebuchadnezzar into the mighty empire of Persia. So we have an interesting time in history that we're opening up. Mm-hmm. Right now. Okay, not only did we talk about the three no-kames, but why did we spend so much time on this pasuk? And look how much time we're spending on it today as well. It's because we have, remember there was that wonderful malbim about when does Hashem take nekama? Because it said no-kame and no-tear, right? So no-kame is that he takes vengeance immediately. And Noter is like he's waiting, he holds it in his heart, right? And the Malbim explained, and I'm going to simplify it, that when people do wrong to each other, when there is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, evil that people do to each other, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will step right in and he'll stop it so that the world is not destroyed. But when there is a Bein Adam Lamakom, if there is something that's pogea in Kvod Hashem, l'mashal Avodah Zarah, then it's as though a Kadosh Baruch Hu waits, he's no tear, he doesn't take revenge right away, but waits to see how things will work out, he's no tear. And the tsarim, the tsar, he's nokem litsarav, is people that are actually doing things, action. People who are being crazy and bad to each other, whereas an oyev is somebody that keeps it in their heart. They're not really doing anything actively, but they have like this.
They
have thoughts. Or they are not influencing a lot of people for bad. It's that they follow idols. And you know what he's explaining to us in this pasuk, my friends? He is explaining to us why it was. Remember when Yonah, I forgot his name for a minute. When Yonah was sent to Nineveh and he told them, Od Arba'im Yom v'Nineveh Necharevet. So remember it said that they did tshuva mehachamas asher bekapam. From the Hamas, the violence, Ben Adam L'Chavero, not they did not stop worshiping idols. And so Nahum is saying, you know why they did? You know why they were forgiven for their sins? Because they were given Arba'im Yom. And in Arba'im Yom, they did do tshuva from the violence that they committed against each other, the Ben Adam L'Chavero. And as far as their attitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as though Hashem is giving them time. What is that midah that we call that Hashem gives you time?
Erech HaPayim.
And that's the next pasuk.
Yeah.
Because the next pasuk says Hashem Erech HaPayim Ugdol Koach. He's an Erech HaPayim and he has great strength. You know why the strength is mentioned here? Because in order to be an Erech HaPayim, you need a lot of strength, because you're not acting immediately. You're not using Charon Af, which is the anger that you act upon, but rather the Chema, the one that burns inside you, that you're holding back. And when you hold back, that takes a lot of Koach. V'nake lo yinake. And sometimes he wipes the slate clean, but sometimes he doesn't. Slicha, and the Malbim again says, he's talking about Nineveh again here. This is very specific. The Malbim says this whole perek is very specific. He's telling us exactly what happened in Nineveh, so that we understand a little bit about the way Hashem works. So he's Erech HaPayim Ugdol Koach, and he's able to do it v'nake, and he waits. But the, you know what? If whoever it is continues sinning and continues going on in the way that he's been doing, lo yinake. And he's not going to wipe the slate clean. He's not going to forgive. And he did finally destroy the whole kingdom of Ashur. Hashem b'sufa uv'sa'ara darko. And now he's going to describe how Hashem works. Hashem works with a storm. I'm not sure what the difference is between a sufa and a sa'ara. One of them is more wind, and the other is more rain.
I think Sufa is when it's flooding, because I learned that more.
How come the Samach in the Sufa, is small?
Really? I don't have a small Samach. Let me just a minute. That's very interesting. Who has it?
I have it in the
Sansino?
Yeah.
Just a second. Rega, rega. I'm looking in the Minchat Shai to see if he says anything, which I'm sorry he doesn't. So I don't know.
Thank you.
I really don't know.
I forgot to put the letter in and they just squeezed it in.
Maybe they squeezed it in.
I don't think
does
he do that.
Does he have a note?
No?
Okay. So he comes in a sufa and a sa'ara, both of which are different kinds of storm and wind. His way, darko, is b'sufa v'sa'ara, v'anan avak raglav, and it's as though he's striding on the clouds. It's supposed to be a picture of swiftness, power, storm, right? Strength and working within nature. That Hashem sometimes will use nature to perform whatever it is he's going to do, and here we're talking about punishment.
Interesting that the kufa of hurricanes is always terrible.
And yes, in certain places where there are hurricanes. Okay, what I wanted to do before we go any further is I want you to look at the paper, because I got very interested in the idea that so many of the Nevi'im that we learned in Treyasar, and as I told you, I did not look beyond Treyasar. But anybody who needs, there's more copies. So many of the Nevi'im that we learned in Treyasar talk about the Midot of Hashem. And they use different aspects of the Midot.
That's the same one.
No, she's taking for somebody else, because she's so nice. According to what their Nevuah is, and according to what it is they're interacting with people about, or with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about, they emphasize those parts of Hashem's Midot that are part of their Nevuah. So, the first time that we're told this is, we know it very well, Shmot Lamedalid Moshe is standing at Har Sinai still. He is going to get the second Luchot, and he says to Hashem, Hareini na darkei darkecha, because if you want me to continue leading this nation and you want me to continue taking them on the road to Eretz Yisrael, I need to know a little bit about the way you operate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So remember, Hashem says to him, no man can really see me and live, but I'm going to pass by you, right? And I'm going to show you and tell you what my midot are. So we have in Shmot Perek Lamedalid Vayered Hashem Ba'anan. And Hashem came down in the cloud, Vayit Yatsevi Mosham. Next week is Slichot. And we'll be saying this many times. Hashem came down in the cloud and stood before him, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, and he called out in the name of Hashem, Vayavor Hashem Alpanav, Vayikra, Hashem passed by him and called out, Hashem, Hashem, write double Yud Kei Vav Kei, Kael, Rachum V'Chanun, compassionate and gracious, Erech Apayim, slow to anger, we just did that, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, notice here it doesn't say Koach. It says Rav Chesed, with a lot of Chesed and Emet, and truth. Chesed, kindness that goes more than kindness, and Emet. Notzer Chesed Alafim, he remembers, holds on to Chesed for thousands of generations. Nose Avon Vafesha V'Chata'a, he tolerates a deliberate sin, right? And a rebellious sin, and an unintentional sin. V'nake, lo yinake. Some of these we had, right? And sometimes he wipes the slate clean, and sometimes he doesn't, and punishes. Poked avon avot al banim, v'al bnei banim, al shileshim, v'al ribeim. And sometimes the Kaddish Baruch Hu remembers the sins of the fathers on the sons, on the son's sons, and on the third generation as well. And fourth, Rebeim, Toda. So you have, those are the Midot that the Kaddish Baruch Hu explained to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe uses the term Koach, remember, we read it in the Malbim, when he is davening after the Chet HaMeraglim, and he is trying to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to destroy the whole nation, and he says, Yigdal na Koach Hashem. And we understand Koach, in other words, overcome your anger, your charon af. And that's Nachum uses the Koach here. It's very interesting. At any rate, we had in Yoel, and we didn't even pay attention because it was the first time, I think. Remember in Yoel there was this big magefa of arbe? Mm-hmm. Three different kinds of arbe came upon the people. And in Perek Bet, which this quote comes from, the people get together to daven. Kirutzom, he tells us. Call for a fast and tefillah. And he says, Kiru levavchem va'al bigdechem. Don't just mourn by turning your clothes, but actually tear your hearts. V'shuvu el Hashem Elokeichem. And return, do tshuva. Return to Hashem your God. Ki chanun v'rachum hu. Because remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gracious and compassionate and gracious. Erech apayim, slow to anger, v'rav chesed, and of great kindness, v'nicham al hara'ah, and he sometimes, you can't say changes his mind about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather decides not to fulfill any evil. And Rachmanis, and he doesn't do the ra'ah. Doesn't do the ra'ah. So Yoel, notice, because he is telling the people to daven, doesn't mention any of the punishing midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't even say emet, because emet means truth. It's a judge that's judging according to what you deserve. He says, remember all of the positive midot of Hashem and pray, get together, kir utzom, v'kidshu atzara, get together, atzara is a collection, come together, and he only mentions those positive aspects of Hashem's midot. We learned in Yonah, and that's still in our heads because we spend so much time on it, in Perek Dalid, that's after the Kikayon. Remember the Kikayon that grows and gives him shade, and then the Kikayon falls, rots. And Vayitpaler al Hashem Vayomer, and Hashem, he davens to Hashem and he says, honor Hashem, please Hashem. Halozed dvori ad heyoti al admati. This is everything that was bothering me when I was still on my own land, when you told me to go to Nineveh and I tried to run away and go to Tarshish in the other direction. Alken kidamti livroach Tarshisha. It's for that reason that I decided that I was not going to do it, and I ran away to Tarshish. Ki yodati, because I have known, ki atakel chanun v'rachum, that you are a gracious and compassionate God. Erech apayim v'rav chesed, you are slow to anger and of great kindness. V'nicham al hara'ah, same thing that Yoel said, except Yonah puts this different twist on it. Yoel says, let's daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because these are his positive midot. And Yonah is saying, you saved Nineveh. I know that that's the kind of God you are, that you are not going to punish them. Micha, we just learned it, and we say this during Tashlich. This is part of the Tashlich ceremony. Mikael Kamocha. Micha, sorry. Micha is talking about, really, the end of days, Acharit HaYamim, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring that time. He is guaranteeing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring that time, which we call the Yeshua. And at that time, he wants to tell people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to wipe out certain averot. He is no longer going to think about, he's going to put certain of his midot really into practice. So what does he bring up? This is the very end of the Sefer. And it's also, please remember what we say, for Tashlich, Mikael Kamocha, who is a God like you? It's an amazing pasuk. Nosei Avon, who carries, that means that you carry it, you don't punish, right? You carry it, you remember it, you know it's there, but you do not punish, avon, the deliberate sin. Va'over al pesha means you totally forget about rebellious sins. Who can be like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the time of the Geula, you are going to tolerate the avon and forget about the pesha? L'she'erit nachlato, to the remnants of his portion, meaning Am Yisrael, lo hechezik la'ad apo, he did not hang on to his anger forever. And remember, the af is the action, right? The reaction. Ki chafetz chesed hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes to act with loving kindness. Yashuv yirachameinu, he is going to, he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to yashuv. It's not just we who are going to lashuv l'shem, but he is going to turn back to us. Yirachameinu, and he's going to have compassion on us. Yichbosh avonoteinu, he's going to hide our deliberate averot. V'tashlich b'mtzulot yam kol chatoteinu, and you will throw into the depths of the sea. This is why we go to a body of water, all of our sins. In other words, just, you know the way some people have the minhag of like emptying crumbs from their pockets and shaking them out. Throw them, take them and throw them in the depths of the sea. Titein emet liYaakov, make truth of the promises you made to Yaakov about our being an eternal nation. Chesed l'Avraham, and do the kindness to Avraham, because remember with Avraham that was, he was the first, and so it's chesed. Asher nishbata l'avoteinu mimei kedem, that which you promised to our fathers from days of yore. You promised that we would last forever. Make it happen. And may it be that our averot are forgotten, passed over, and thrown in the depths of the sea. Yes?
What did you mean by chesed because he's the first?
Tell me again?
You said chesed because he's the first?
Because, I know, titain emet liYaakov, keep the truth to Yaakov. But Avraham is the first of the avot. In other words, with Avraham, there's no past history. With Yaakov, when he promised Yaakov that we would be eternal, then he is solidifying the promise that he made to Avraham and Yitzchak. And you know, chut ha-mishulash, a three-stranded cord doesn't spread like a chazakah. It's a chazakah. When you promised Yaakov, then it's already chazakah. But with Avraham, it was pure chesed that you promised him. It was pure chesed because there was no history. There was nothing that, you know, that, so to speak, we had proven. So when you said to Avraham, Kigiri Ezarecha Beres Lo Lahem, and I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim, and they're going to be a goy gadol, and all that stuff, it was chesed. Whereas with Yaakov, it was making truth out of the promises that had been made before. And then, of course, I put down the Nachum. I remember 2 weeks ago when we met that somebody had said, what about Eliyahu? But really, Eliyahu is not to be compared, because Eliyahu, I wrote it down, Eliyahu is not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eliyahu is talking about himself. If you remember, when he ran away to the Midbar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Malacha po Eliyahu, what are you doing here? A Navi is supposed to be among the people. You're not supposed to run away to the Midbar. And Eliyahu says in Malachim Aleph, Yud Zayin Yud, Kano kineti Lashem Elokei Tzvakot. He's talking about himself. He does use the term kanokineti, I have been zealous, but he's talking about himself. He says, I have been a kana, not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, ki azvu britecha b'nei Yisrael. because Bnei Israel have abandoned your Brit. Et mizbukotecha harasu, they destroyed all of your altars. Ve'et neviyecha hargu b'cherev, and your neviim, your prophets, they killed by the sword. Ve'ivoter ani levadi, and I have been abandoned, I'm alone, I alone. Ve'ubikashti et nafshi. Lakachat. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't copy this right. I'm asking you to take my soul. I didn't copy the Bikashti. I don't remember it. But at any rate, I am asking you to take my soul. And if you remember, that's when Hashem also passes in front of him. And there's first he comes with a ruach, and then he comes with a fire, and he says, Lo baruach Hashem, because it's kol demama daka. So that's what Hashem shows him, and Eliyahu is untouched, because after that scene, he says exactly the same pasuk, kano kineti l'Hashem Elokai. I am zealous for Hashem. And if you remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if that's the case, tatala. But he might not say tatala. If that's the case, go back and anoint Elisha, remember? Yes, and he's going to be the Navi. And we know that Eliyahu will be taken up to heaven alive. So it's very interesting that we spent a lot of time on the Midot. But Nachum spends a lot of time talking about what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts. What it is that he's going to do. It's interesting that in all of these psukim that we're about to read, because some of them now will be a little easier, Rashi, when he explains the psukim, explains them in a general sense. He says, this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in general, whereas Malbim says, this is talking about Ninveh. It is specific. He is talking about what happened from the time that he sent Yonah through the history of the power of the empire, the rise of the empire, and the waning of the empire, until they're finally destroyed. So Malbim actually sees it as a historical description of what happened, including, you can see already, I probably don't have to tell you, remember we said Hashem works within the wind and the rain, he works within the storms, and we know that we had a miracle that was the first thing where the army was destroyed outside of Yerushalayim. And then, according to Malbim, there was a flood where the river Chidekel, the Tigris, which was a mighty, mighty river, overflowed its banks and destroyed the entire city of Ninveh. And then, of course, there was a war. There was a battle. That was really the destruction of Ashur, finally by the hands of the army of Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel. So that's the way he's describing it. We will try to understand it. Pasuk Dalid, Goer Bayam Vayab Shehu. He can be angry. And he takes out his anger on the yam, on the sea, and he can dry it out if he wishes. V'chol hanaharot echariv, and he can dry out every one of the rivers that comes out of the sea. Umlal bashan, and when he dries out the yam and he dries out the rivers, then all of the fertile land that depend on the waters will be totally umlal, they will be unfortunate. The Carmel, and even the finest, most arable land. Uperach Levanon umlal. And everything that grows and flowers on the Levanon will be unfortunate because they will not have any water because he's drying out the rivers. Notice, please, that in the previous pasuk he talked about storms. He can give too much water, and at the same time he could also dry it, cause a total drought, and dry out all the rivers. Harim ra'ashu mimenu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to act, the very mountains tremble. Ra'ashu, make noise before him. V'hagva'ot hitmogagu, and the hills fall apart, they melt. V'tisa ha'aretz mipanav v'tevel v'chol yoshveba. And the land literally is gone. Tisa is like totally burnt, is what I was looking down at Mitzudat Tzion, who says, Vatisa ha'aretz lefanav, it could be burnt up in Yan Srefa, as it's used in Yirmiyahu. The land can be burnt, v'tevel, the whole universe, v'chol yoshveha, and all its dwellers. So there can be too much water, too little water, fire. Lifnei za'amo mi yamot. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, who could stand before him? Umi yakum b'charon apo. And who can stand upright against his active anger, the charon apo? Chamato nitcha ka'esh. That burning anger that he holds inside can be poured out like fire. In other words, it can burst out when he's been holding that chema and then decides lo yinakeh, that he's not going to hold it in anymore. Then it comes pouring out like almost like fire coming out of heavens. V'hatsurim nitsu mimenu. And the big rocks, the tsur, the large rocks, are broken before him. However, Tov Hashem lema'oz biyom tzara. But if you want to have protection from this great destruction that can come upon the world, he puts it in the middle, because he wants to show us that it is never too late to change in the middle. But if you want to use Hashem as your stronghold, lema'oz, at the time of tzara, that even if the world is being destroyed around you, if you cling to Hashem, you can be saved. V'yodeya choseva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, remember the word yodeya, as he knows well all those who trust in him. Uveshetef over kala ya'aseh makoma, v'oivav yiradef choshech. A shetef is a stream. It was used, I think, in this past week's Haftorah, Shetef.
Zerem,
like a Zerem. But in it was Shetef Ketzef in the Yeshayahu. And it's like such a funny two words. It's very hard to say. Shetef Ketzef. So I never forget it. And it's always on the Haftorah of Kitetze. Ah, there it is again, the Shetef Ketzef. You know, it's here. But a zerem, a stream, over kala, you know what happens? He could pour out, and now he is talking about that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy, then it could just come out suddenly, like more than a stream, what do you call it, like a freshet? Oh, like a flash flood. That's what I was thinking about. Yes? It always... That terrible, terrible thing. We know that there have been terrible things that happen when there's a shetef, a flash flood, and kalaya semakoma. And you know what happens when there's a flash flood? The entire place is totally destroyed. Va'oivav yiradef choshech. And his enemies are chased into the darkness. In other words, they don't know where to go to save themselves. They cannot save themselves. Again, this particular pasuk, according to Rashi and Metsudot, who follow Rashi in this case, I believe Radak as well, they all say this is general. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a sheter. He brings a tzara quickly like a stream, and it just totally destroys the place, and it happens in the blink of an eye. The Malbim says, this is what I told you in Pasuk Aleph. Remember in Pasuk Aleph, I told you that I was going to do you a favor and not read a very long Malbim. The very long Malbim really told the history of this specific time when the Chidekel overflowed. And it would seem that the king at the time was Ashur Banapa'al, two kings after Sancheriv, who still had certain powers. And he had heard from his Chartumim, you know, from his
magicians
and soothsayers, that if the Chidekel would overflow, then it was a portent for the end of the time of Ashur. But this Ashur Banapal was extremely confident of his great power. Please remember that Ashur had really lasted as a major power for a long time. They had rebuilt their army. They were feeling very good about themselves. And it would seem, we're going to see it in the next pasuk, it would seem that this Ashur Banapal, the king, was a drunkard. In other words, they were very, very happy with themselves. They used to do a lot of drinking and partying. And there they were drinking and partying when, guess what? The Chidekel overflowed its banks and totally destroyed the city. And it would seem that this Ashur Banapa'al had a pyre, P-Y-R-E, built. And he and his wife were burnt on the pyre. In other words, they killed themselves, yes. We're going to see it in a minute. If we just, because I want to finish it.
An Indian name, that's what they do in India.
Yes, that's what they do, but not as punishment. Here it was punishment. Hine, matach shivun el Hashem, kalahu aseh. What did you think, Nineveh? According to Malbim, remember, it's all Nineveh. What did you think, Nineveh, when that happened, when the river overflowed? Hashem is intending to completely destroy you. Lo ta'akum pa'amayim tzara. After the second time, it's not going to come another time after pa'amayim twice, but you will have it. Hashem is going to make a kala. After this, you will be completely ended, and then it's not going to come again. That's it. What did you think was happening? It was a warning. You didn't heed the warning. You are going to be destroyed. And a hysterical pasuk where I have to do it before you go, because it's again using language. Look at the language. Ki ad sirim svuchim. Ukisavam svuim. Isn't that clear? I love when the Nevi'im do this. Ki ad sirim svuchim ukisavam svuim uklu kikash yavesh malei. Sirim is kotsim, thorns. Svuchim, like svach, thicket. Svach, you remember the Ayil, the Chuz B'Svach, with Avraham, with his Karen, his horns that we use the shofar, right? So, when you can even feel that you are so powerful, you are united as a nation. First, I'm taking general, then we go to Ashur. You're united like thorns are twisted together and you can't take them apart. Nobody's going to attack us. We are so strong. But you know what the problem was? The problem was that sometimes people who feel very strong spend their time partying, ukasavam savuim. They were in a drunken stupor, ukasavam, when they were drinking, and they were drunk. Uklu kikash yavesh malay. They were fully burnt up like dry straw. And if we're talking about Ashur, then it tells us, Malbim tells us, because of the fact that they were drunk and they were happy and they were partying, that they needed to build themselves a pyre of those twisted thorns. They were twisted because the waters had overflown and twisted all the vegetation. And so they built that pyre, ukakash, and they went up like straw. They were just burnt up, the leaders at that time, which was that middle, the middle punishment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm not going to do the next pasuk, because the next pasuk is going to take a little more historical input. And so, you notice Nachum, the entire perek, is talking about Hashem's charonach and Hashem's noter erech apayim, when he punishes immediately and when he holds it in, and specifically with Nineveh, why he saved Nineveh and then needed to destroy it. Have a wonderful week. We will indeed meet Bezrat Hashem next week. Whoa.
From part A,
whoa.